March 25th, and I have guests, Steve.
Yo.
And Amro.
Yo, yo.
Okay, it's 3 days at this time to have you guys back, or it's, have Amro back. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Right, it has.
I usually use not coming to this show as an excuse to goof off and not do anything.
Yeah. For me, Sunday's usually like Walking Dead's on, so I'm like, I'll miss that, but I'll watch it later. But, yeah, it's been good to be back. I guess we got only one news story. I mean, there's probably more, but we got a lot of other things to talk about. But, Attack on Titans manga creator wants to correct mistakes he made in the manga during the third season of Attack on Titan. So I'm like, I didn't read the manga, so I guess maybe someone who knows the manga can tell the differences.
From what I was read about it was that the biggest thing is people complain, I think it was between volumes 13 and 15, which is, you know, about what they're going to be adapting. Apparently, they don't do a lot of stuff with Titans. It's all interactions, and apparently it was not rated very well amongst its group, amongst the ratings of the manga. So the creator just said he just felt like he didn't do really good job during those chapters. So I'm guessing there's going to be some differences in the adaptation. It'll be interesting to see kind of see and compare for those who actually do read the manga. I know XCOM does, so I'll be curious to see what he says about it. But that is going to be interesting to see if they do make some changes in what they are, just simply because it's been pretty faithful from what I'm hearing so far. So, interesting.
Yeah, like he wants to go back and just redo it. So that was out for the news. I guess that was some anime talk. I mean, there's a few shows that have ended, but we'll talk about those at a later time. But I guess I'm going to want to talk about Dragon Ball Super. I mean, yeah, I want to talk about that.
It finally ended. Not like I was like hoping it would end soon, but we've been in this tournament for a long time now. And I gotta say, I was happy with the overall ending. The final couple of episodes and fights were pretty exhilarating, in my opinion. So so Fosh, you've been keeping up with it too?
Oh yeah, me and my brother have been watching it. It got off to a rough start, but once it got the footing and they got through some of the lamer arcs, it got better.
Yeah, I'd say the advice still kind of holds true. Like, if you want to watch Super, definitely skip the first two arcs. Just watch the movies, Battle of Gods and the Return of F. Or is it the Return or the Revenge? I can never remember.
Return, I think.
Yeah. So obviously the F is for Frieza. And then you can jump on pretty much where the anime picks up after that. The Goku Black arc, I feel is like where Dragon Ball Super kind of really came into its own. And after that, you know, we eventually got into the Universe Survival arc, and that's where like the series kind of just exploded in terms of, you know, fights, and there was a long preparation kind of arc leading up to it, and then we finally got into it, and it's just been battle after battle after battle, which is kind of what Dragon Ball does best.
Right, the lead up to that was a lot of filler, a lot of silly stuff, like I think they had a baseball episode where they try to recruit Yamcha or some shit.
I thought that was a really fun episode. Yeah. It gave us Yamcha in a crater again.
Yeah, and then the mystery of who they were going to recruit was being, you know, Boo was the original choice, but he fell asleep, you know, just in time for the, and they got Frieza, which a lot of people wanted Cell instead, because Frieza is so overused at that point. You know, he's always, he's Goku's greatest villain, I guess, so.
Yeah, I feel like Boo kind of got the shaft. A lot of people wanted to see Boo. And at the same time, like originally I was a little disappointed that Frieza was chosen, but I feel like it totally paid off in the end.
Right. It makes sense now when they did it. Cause they want to reuse that character for other things in the future.
Yeah.
And what they did with him and, you know, reviving him fully. Now he's, which was funny. I thought he's just like, he can do that. Like, holy crap. He can bring back dead people.
Weiss and his angels and the Grand Priest, they're on a different level.
Pretty OP. They're like, these Dragon Balls are bringing him back. And he's like, no. He's just snapping his fingers. I'm like, oh, okay, well.
He's alive.
Well, they're going to probably be using that again later for Goku or someone later.
Yeah. So what did you think of the actual ending itself?
The ending was pretty good. I mean, I kind of figured the wish was going to happen that way. He was going to bring all the universes back. But my other theory was he was going to merge them all in one universe. That way, Goku could visit them anytime he wants. But instant transmission, I guess he could go to different planets. I don't know. But I just found it funny that the guy was like, if it was going to be a selfish wish, it would have nuked the whole universe. And I was like, oh my god. So basically, they were riding on the chance that someone was not going to be a selfish wish at all.
Yeah, to me, like, it was always obvious that they were going to bring back the erased universes. Because, I mean, come on, it's Dragon Ball. That's why the Dragon Balls exist, right? So to me, the surprise was, one, that Android 17 was the final person standing. Mm-hmm. And that he was the one that made the wish himself. And the fact that the Xenos that was their plan all along, that if the final universe standing didn't make that wish, he was just going to erase everything.
Right, yeah.
I was like, oh damn, that was actually kind of awesome, in my opinion. So, man, Android 17 put in some work in that tournament.
Oh yeah, I was not surprised. I was very surprised he survived that long. Even though I was like, well, Android, you know, they're pretty tough. You know,
yeah.
That guy, you know, he's like, but I always thought it was funny because seeing the shots, like, it's like Goku fought these two; they're both his enemies, and now Frieza and the Android on his team. I mean, Frieza had all reasons why he was doing it. But it was just funny how they kind of did the One Piece thing. Everyone Luffy fights eventually becomes his friend or ally or whatever later on.
It was obviously like with when he was fighting Jiren and you saw the flashbacks to Dragon Ball, and as it went through and it showed, you know, Krillin and Yamcha and Tien, they were all, and Piccolo, they were all his villains. Like, they were all bad guys that eventually joined him. And same happened with Vegeta. And I feel like this was kind of finally the turn for Android 17 and Frieza almost. Like, Frieza is still evil.
Right.
But to see him actually fight side by side with Goku, like, and they were, like, having some teamwork. Vegeta's facial expression was priceless.
Right. I mean, it was pretty stunning to see the two of them, like synchronized, like, fighting and everything. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, throw me. And I was like, oh, my God. This is awesome. Like, this Goku, like, throws Frieza and it's like, almost like you would see, like, in Dragon Ball FighterZ. Like, this is like that come to life.
Yeah, the storyboarding was really strong in that final episode. What did you think of Jiren overall?
He's an interesting character. I thought it was just funny how he was, like, super silent at the beginning, and near the end he's super talkative. Right? And,
yeah.
But the Dick movie did was trying to blow up his friends. I was like, wow. This guy is like, pretty much a big sore loser. Like, all your friends give you power? Okay, I'll end that. And shoots a blast at him, like,
I felt like that was kind of him trying to be like, because, you know, he's they kind of touched on his backstory a little bit, which I felt was a little half-assed.
Oh yeah.
But you know, they talked about how all his friends were killed, and that's what kind of motivated him to become strong and you know, be a lonely warrior or whatever. And him attacking Goku's friends was kind of his way of being like, you know, the people you love can disappear. So if you pin, you know, like, easily, they can just be easily destroyed. So if you pin your strength on that, your strength can fall apart easily. But, you know, all he did was make Goku mad.
That's what I tell my brother watching. I'm like, you don't, with Goku, you don't do that with his friends, but it just powers him up. Like when he turned Super Saiyan the first time. I mean, it's like, come on, that's like his. You're helping him at that point.
I loved Goku's speech talking about how he's like, I've never thought of myself as a hero of justice or whatever. But if you mess with my friends, I'm gonna kick your ass.
Right.
And to me that like speaks volumes to Goku's character. Like I saw some complaints about Dragon Ball Super and how it ruined Goku's character, but like he's always been like that. He's always been the kind of person growing up, even from when he was little, who, like, he wasn't a good guy. He wasn't a hero. He was just a curious kid who liked fighting and, you know, eventually, that was his whole life, was, you know, training to get stronger and fighting stronger people. Mm-hmm. And he made bad decisions, like with Cell, when he gave Cell a Zenzu bean and had Gohan fight him. Like, he's not the kind of guy who is a hero. Mm-hmm. So he's always been selfish, and I feel like Super just kind of like shone it kind of shined a light on that aspect of Goku's character.
Well, that and like the tournament, he put all those universes in danger by setting this tournament up, like agreeing to it.
So it's like,
technically, it's his fault all these people died.
Although they did sort of like retcon it, where like they said that Zeno wasn't planning on doing that anyway, but like he was just gonna erase the universes, but now he wants to have a tournament to have one survive.
Right. What would you think of his instinct?
Ultra Instinct?
It came out. I mean, it didn't really come out of nowhere. I mean, I knew something was gonna happen
because
Jiren being so powerful, they had to give Goku some kind of edge.
They were at least building up to it for a long time. Like, you know, when he was training with Whis, and, you know, they were already Super Saiyan Blue at that point. And they were training with Whis, and Whis was talking about how, like, you keep thinking too much. Like, you need to get to the point where your body can react on its own. And that was, like, the foreshadowing of Ultra Instinct. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that they eventually, you know, they built up to it, and its mastered form was, I think, one of the coolest power-ups that Goku's gotten.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I mean, visually, it looked really cool.
Oh, yeah. And just the fact that, like, it's different. What I liked about it was that it doesn't just make him stronger. Like, it's more about the way his body moves and, you know, the way he's, like, dodging attacks and stuff. Like, his body's just moving on its own or whatever. Like, I thought that was actually just a cool, different sort of power-up for him.
Right. Even they gave Vegeta, like, the opposite. His was more... I think Vegeta's was more about, like, because he's a tactical fighter, so they...
Yeah.
So they set him up with different training, because Goku doesn't... He needs to think more and all that, and... So it kind of gave Vegeta a little power-up, too, but...
Yeah.
It made him look like more like a cute anime character, because his eyes were, like, bigger. I was like,
They were shy.
Exactly. I don't like this big shiny eyes on Vegeta, but Vegeta had a cool arc too. He did a flashback to Majin arc where he blew himself up, and he actually does that same attack, but doesn't kill himself this time.
It was actually successful this time.
Yeah, they set it up where kind of they hint back towards the past and come back.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool seeing that. And
I think Super did a good job of calling back to a lot of Dragon Ball things, like especially like it also. Like, even during the tournament Master Roshi had a good character moment. Even Tien and Krillin and androids. I really like that they brought the androids back and made them, like, actual major characters. Because I felt like they were kind of wasted when they just sort of got, you know, absorbed by Cell. And,
right, after Krillin went with and they had a kid.
And then Android 18, they just got together, and she sort of just became a housewife or whatever. Like, I always liked her character a lot, and 17 got his due, which was a lot better than Super Android 17 from GT.
I was excited to see the Saiyan, the girls and all them. Just seeing a different kind of Saiyan in this tournament was cool, too, in the fusion. And their fight is still my favorite. Just Goku versus her. Just, at the end, how he's just riding on the beam and, like, comes up behind and it shoots the blast. I thought it was this visually looked really cool. I mean, it may have been, you know, up to Jiren versus Goku, but I think it was an interesting fight, just seeing how they did that. And I'm glad the planet's back, so now they can do an arc about that, which I think that's where they're headed for later on.
Yeah.
I think Vegeta's probably going to end up somehow being the next king of that planet, because he's friends with the, you know, like, young kid or whatever.
Vegeta's gonna go take over the Saiyan planet in a different universe.
Yeah, I can see that. Because the big thing people are saying that he could train them all, and then imagine having a full planet full of Super Saiyan gods and all crap. Yeah, it would be
good awesome. Lord.
You know, but yeah, I guess we can talk about the future. I mean, there's a movie coming out that I guess takes place after this tournament arc.
So like, yeah, like a
continuation canon movie for once.
Well, I'm not sure if it's a continuation or not, but it's the first movie to be a Dragon Ball Super movie. Mm-hmm. Because Dragon Ball, like both the Battle of Gods and Return of F were Dragon Ball Z branded. So, you know, this to me, what that means to me is that, like, they're not gonna keep rushing the schedule. Like, they're not just gonna keep making Dragon Ball Super to just keep it on air, which I think is actually a good thing.
That's smart.
I would be happy if they took a break, did this movie. The movie looks like the teaser for the movie looks really good, and then they can come back later and do more. Like the way they've expanded the Dragon Ball universe has actually opened up the opportunity for a whole bunch of new stories. So I'm really excited to see what the future of Dragon Ball is going to be.
Yeah, I'm waiting for like stuff like Gohan to maybe because Gohan, you know, he's like, well, he's not really doing that now, but it's like if he got it when he was trying to be a Saiyan man, whatever, he could have joined Jiren's group and like trained with them.
Became, oh,
like,
man.
You like a superhero with them.
Become a hero of justice,
yeah,
again.
of the universe would be awesome. But I can see stuff like that happening. And like Goten and Trunks going to the Saiyan planet to get more proper training. Yeah. Maybe he can teach them how to, like Vegeta would do, teach them how to use their Super Saiyan powers. Just a lot of the things they could do now with that. But the movie looks cool. But I think the movie I heard, the plot line was about, they're going to talk about the original Super Saiyan God, about where he came from. And there's rumor that Beerus would appear, that Beerus was the one who told Frieza to kill all the Saiyans, because he knew the future, how their one of them was going to rise up and become a god of destruction.
Yeah,
there's a rumor that Beerus was.
That was seen in I think it was one of the previous movies.
Probably.
Yeah, but whatever it is, I'm there day one. I would hope that they did a day one release, you know, for worldwide, you know, or not just worldwide. I mean, worldwide in Japan and over here at the same time. I'd definitely go see that in a movie theater.
Yeah, that would be neat. That'd be nice. Anything else to talk about it? I mean, I'm excited to see when it comes back. I know it's going to be a while, but I'm still
excited. Dragon Ball Super was on the air for 3 years, so there's a lot we could talk about.
Oh, man.
But you know, like that could be a whole EXT episode.
True. More fighting with Steve, with his pick. Totally more Dragon Ball Z related content.
Now, what I wanted to do is I wanted to finish up ReLife. It was a show that, came out all the way back in 2016. But like came out all at once, right?
Wasn't it one of the first to start doing that, like that trend of?
It was one of the first to, you know, it's a show that actually just they decided to release it all at once. So it's one of the shows that a lot of people might have forgotten about, because you know, even I, you know, watched it. I think every episode over a 3 day period because it was so addicting. So it was like mid 2016 this came out. So they finally, you know, almost a year and a half later, almost 2 years really. A year and a half, probably better. Anyway, they decide to release the four episode conclusion to the series, and so if you never saw ReLife, I do highly recommend it. It was a fantastic series, and but now the final four episodes. I was concerned when the first when I read it was only going to be four episodes that it was going to just feel super rushed and be unsatisfying, and while it did feel very rushed, it did have a very satisfying conclusion to it. So we got all four episodes at once, and I think the one, I guess, kind of bummer thing was it pretty much only focused on the two main characters, Arata and Chizuru. So we didn't really get to see any of the other characters do much, which, like, the main series had, like, all these characters that were running. But this, they decided just to kind of wrap up their storyline, and I thought it was just handled very well. Their relationship was kind of tragic because we knew what was going into it. I'm trying to be void spoilers, but I guess there's no really good way to do that. So I guess, you know, if you haven't seen ReLife, maybe skip ahead 10 minutes. So for those who don't remember or, you know, need a refresher course, ReLife, of course, is about like a 27, 28-year-old guy who becomes a neet because he gets fired and bullied from his job, and so he gets offered a pill that'll take him back to high school for 1 year, basically turn him back into a 17-year-old kid, and so he did it, and so that's the kind of the storyline we get wrapped up, is, you know, so we get the final, I guess, few months of his time as a high schooler, and kind of the big reveal toward the end of the season was that Chizuru and, you know, the girl that they obviously are pushing toward him also happened to be a ReLife candidate. So it was very interesting seeing in these four episodes. We finally got more information on her and what happened. And this was, in fact, her second year as being in real life, which is apparently unheard of. So I thought that was kind of really interesting seeing that in her storyline and kind of the sadness of the whole thing. Because, again, kind of the big kind of the other big reveal was that after you graduate or after you – you know, finish your year of real life, everyone forgets you. You don't forget them, but everyone forgets you, which I find kind of a ridiculous rule that two real life candidates would essentially forget each other. Because technically, you know, she's a real life candidate. So, you know, Adata would forget her once his, you know, his stuff. I thought that was kind of like a ridiculous rule, in my opinion.
The whole mechanic of it doesn't make any sense because it's how are they forgetting about it? Is it a side effect of the drug? Like, is, you know, because if that's the case, then like, why won't the handlers forget? I don't like it's just a thing that's done for drama, basically.
You kind of have to give some leeway. It's the premise of the series. He's obviously de-aging 10 years.
So I'm not saying that it like it's a bad thing. It's just it doesn't make any sense. So don't think about it too hard.
I can accept that. Yeah.
I remember he gave him another pill and like, oh, you can go back for one day, back to your old self.
I still kind of like that the pill didn't actually turn them younger. It just made them look younger. So yeah. They were still – their body was still the same age. So like when he went to do like PE, he would get like tired and stuff because he was out of shape. Anyway.
But, you know, I mean, I really like the emotional aspect of that because, you know, I love that once they kind of got to that realization that they wouldn't remember or, you know, I guess Chizu got to the realization that she would forget. Arata would forget her as she would forget him. That emotional aspect was very huge, including the handler on – like she played a huge emotional impact in that final couple episodes.
Yeah.
Because she was feeling that whole weight of it too. Like we should push them together because they're going to forget each other, you know. And it was just – and even though Arata didn't know – that, you know, Chizuru was a subject as well, but just his realization too, coming into like, is this okay? And then like his whole, like, that was just so emotionally well done. Like, I'm going to let myself fall in love. And it kind of actually reminded me a little bit of After the Rain this season and how, you know, the main character, 45-year-old, is like, I'll just let this happen because it feels kind of good. And that's kind of like how Arata approaches it too. And it's just – it's so emotionally well done that it kind of grasps your heart and you just tugs at it. Like even though it's not like someone dying or something, it still gives you that emotional pull that makes you kind of want to tear up a little bit. Like it's so sad. Even though you know the series probably doesn't have the balls to do a sad ending.
I mean, to me, that's like every episode I watched so far. Evergarden, like 8, 9, 10, like, oh god,
like Violet Evergarden, I would have the full belief has the balls to do a super sad ending.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, but this show, I just did not believe it. Like I knew something was gonna happen. But kind of, I guess, getting before we get to the ending, is there anything you want to add, Amuro?
I just wanted to say, like, I didn't read the manga that it's based off of. It's based off a web novel, not a web novel, but a web manga. And my friend who did read it was keeping up with it after watching the series, like, says that these last four episodes kind of skipped over a lot of detail. And you could definitely tell that it was a little bit rushed. Especially like even the ending, which I guess we'll, you know, I won't say anything about because we'll get to that in just a moment. Yeah. Like you can tell it was rushed. I'm still glad that they finished it in anime form. And there's always, you know, if you want more of those characters, you can always go read the manga itself. But like, you know, these four episodes or whatever, they just gave closure to a series that, like, when it came out, it was – I wouldn't say that Real Life is like an amazing series.
It's a good show.
But it's a good show, and the way it premiered where you could just watch it all in one go, that made me like it more just because it was so readily available.
I think it also hit to us more being older. older people.
Yeah, the fact that the character, like, I think when I first watched ReLife, I was the same age as him, and now I'm older, and I'm like, God, I feel terrible. he was like a 28-year-old going back in time, not going back in time.
Make
like,
us feel old for being the youngest person here.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, it happens to me when I play this VR chat, so I get on there. And a lot of the people that play, I have to interact with are like 15, 18, 20. And I'm like, I'm 30-something.
You feel like someone's about to tell you to go have a seat over there.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like,
should I really be here?
Yeah, I'm like, what am I doing with my life here?
It's like, why am I in this Chuck E. Cheese right now?
Yeah, like, I should probably do something. Yeah, but yeah.
But anyway, so you want to go ahead and go full spoilers for the ending?
Well, one thing I wanted to at least add is, even though it felt rushed, it was a decent ending.
Yeah.
Like, it felt rushed, but it was nice to have as an ending. I would have preferred another season, because I did really like season one. Mm-hmm. So if they did a full-blown second season, I would have enjoyed it.
They want season two.
Yeah, but being that all we got were four episodes, I felt like it was a decent ending to a show where you don't get to another show. A fan, as being an anime fan, we recognize we don't get a lot of endings.
Yeah.
So having that ending is nice. But with that said, going into full spoilers, I think the ending, I think. Without a doubt, you can't say you. I think all of us, at least, I guess, Fosh, you haven't seen it, but Armo, you were kind of like, were you expecting it to be like Your Name? Like, because there's no way you can have a comparison. Because to me, this was like a comparison to Your Name ending.
Yeah.
You know, because you know they forgot each other, and you're just thinking, like, they're going to meet and it's going to be happy. And so I was expecting that Your Name type ending. I just felt like they tripped a little bit. Like, that whole, like, them in the bar.
It was a little too easy.
Well, not that it was too easy. It was just so clumsy. Like, see, Your Name, I felt the ending was perfect because like a breath of fresh air. You know it's going to happen. You know, it's
well,
it's,
actually, like, not to get too far off track, but with Your Name, like, he has a track record of not making them get together in the end. So with Your Name, you were like, oh, God, they're not going to get together. And they even, like, at one point walk past each other, like, and then don't look back. But the fact that they did get together at the end, and to me, like, with Your Name, they didn't remember. Like, they didn't actually remember each other or the time they spent together. But, like, what they had was this sort of, like, emotional connection to each other, which to me means that they're, you know, like, their relationship is going to start from there. Like, they had a chance meeting and they're going to get to know each other all over again, like, for real this time.
Yeah, people out there in the real world that believe in, like, reincarnation and stuff, so.
Or love at first sight, you know?
Yeah. They believe I was with so-and-so back in the day, now I had to find them, so they believe that. And when they get together, they actually, you know, think it through.
But for me, I would have been more happy with just that, like, them looking at each other, and then, like, even if it wasn't just that, it's just them looking at each other going, and then, like, maybe something clicking, and then, like, we don't need all that stuff, and then you know, Adata going, Chizuru, and then her crying, or maybe a tear sheds and goes, Adata, and then, like, credits. Like, that's all.
Yeah.
But they had this whole, like, moment. They're standing under the awning. The rain's happening, and they're just like, but I did it too. What? Huh? Is it you? We have the same chain. And then it's just like, it was like, I was like, you know, I'm happy this happened, but it was just like, I felt like it was just a little clumsy.
It was a little too neat. Like, they just hugged and that was it. It was over. I will say the manga kind of, because my friend showed me how it played out in the manga. I kind of liked that a little bit better. Like, they had some more time to talk. It was a little bit more fleshed out. Like, and Shizuru even had a line where, like, he confessed his feelings to her all over again. She even had a line where she's like, well, I mean, you know, my skin's not as fresh as it used to be, and you know, if you're okay dating an old woman or whatever, because he knew her as a teenager the whole time, right?
Yeah.
But you know, of course, they get together in the end, and there's even a scene of, like, the four of them, you know, their handlers and them kind of, like, together in his apartment drinking, you know, as adults, And I would have liked to have seen that in the anime. And even the friends got a little bit more screen time at the ending there, too.
Like, because yeah, you got like a brief moment of Uga and his brother being attended to, which I thought was a nice little twit, touch.
In the manga, like, it's more, again, it's more fleshed out. He actually talks to him, and he's like, because he remembers him, obviously, but his friend doesn't. it was rushed. There was things that they had to cut out for the anime version. But overall, definitely, I would say, like, if you haven't seen Real Life, just give it a shot. It's 17 episodes altogether, including the OVA. It's a good little romance show, like a teen drama about people who aren't actually teens.
and one thing I do love about it is this got a great soundtrack. Like every episode has a different ending theme. Like it's a little thing, but it's kind of like that attention to detail. It's kind of like one reason why Guardians of the Galaxy is so great is just having that kind of those songs intertwined with the episodes. Kind of gives you a little more, especially if you read the lyrics and the title names, they kind of fit really well to the episodes themselves. So I will give mad props to, you know, them picking the songs and the ending themes. I thought that was really well done. Yeah, I give it a shot, especially if you like romance shows. I would, and if you're an older person as well, you know, because it gives you back to that, you know, what's it called again? Spring of life feeling, you know.
Can start to get the youth out of them and go through them.
Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know why I haven't watched it yet.
I mean, it just came out.
My brother's a big fan of that. I kind of fell out of it midway through and was like, I don't really care about the kids' problems. Sorry, I just don't. The teenage characters, the ones that are actual teenagers.
Yeah, but hey, but
yeah, I mean, that's what fuels those kind of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Even in, like, real life shows and stuff like that. But yeah, anything else to talk about Real Life or?
Nope, that's about it.
All right, cool. Well, give it a shot this weekend. For me, the show that I kind of liked and that recently ended, Yuri Camp. For me, I think we've said it before countless times on this, that it's just such a good show that to relax to. It's not, there's no in the world apocalypse going on. There's no big monster. There's no threats. There's just girls going out and camping together and having a good time and. It finally hit the point where all the girls got together at the end. Finally had this big Christmas camp. Was pretty good.
They had a time skip and everything. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, the time skip was hilarious. It caught me off guard when I was watching. I'm like, wait a minute.
Time
skip here?
Are they doing this? And then, you know, she comes down in a flying tent. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind.
Like, oh, never mind.
that was well done.
I you know, as much as I love the show, I fell a little bit behind. I plan on actually tonight I'll probably sit down and watch the last couple of episodes I need to watch. But yeah, I agree. Like it's one of my favorites of the season. What's kind of funny to me is that like this show is very much the girls, cute girls doing cute things kind of genre. Mm-hmm. But where a lot of them have the core premise of like, hey, here's four girls that get together and they're a part of a club and then you know, now there's a fifth member that joins down the line and, you know, like basically the K-On! Model, like right. That a lot of these shows sort of follow. Like this one took its time. Like it built its characters. It focused a lot on Rin being by herself and kind of enjoying like her solo camping. And, you know, the fact that like all four of the girls got together or five of them actually, right? Rin's friend. Like the fact that it took them all, you know, near the end of the series for all of them to get together and finally go camping, like it felt like a culmination.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. I mean, when they do solo stuff with Rin, even by herself, it's still entertaining.
She's not absolutely
talkative character like Nadeshiko, but she's, you know, it's fun watching her be herself, I guess.
I think the difference is, as you were saying, just kind of highlighting this point is, you know, K-On! Was about a group of girls doing a group of things. And most shows tend to be a group of girls doing a group of things. But even in this, the final episode, I don't want to spoil it too much, although, I mean, how can you really spoil this show? you know, even in the final moments, we get to see, you know, Nadeshiko is going to do her own solo camping thing.
Yeah.
So, each character kind of, as you said, just has their own situation. And I feel like that gives more weight to the series and the characters and kind of just makes you enjoy it more, because it's just not about kind of like almost this kind of like every show to some extent has these ridiculous situations. You'd be like, that's just kind of stupid,
right.
You know, but this show doesn't really have those. And I like that.
Right. Yeah. Like I'm saying, you don't need, they didn't need to have any super weird thing going on. They didn't need some kind of science fiction or supernatural element. They just needed,
or even just some crazy coincidence.
Right.
You know?
And I did think the final shots were funny, that comparison from episode one to the final, where now you're following the Jessica, going by herself, and she's camping and doing everything just like Ren did in first episode. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty good. So you can see her progression. Now she knows how to do stuff. But
yeah,
even though it's always fun to see the Jessica and Ren together, just though their dynamic is pretty interesting. Even though Ren's quiet and the Jessica's not, it's a good pairing for them.
Yeah. I think also you got to give a lot of a lot of credit to C Station, the studio. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a studio that's done a lot, actually. It's done practically nothing. And not a studio I haven't seen anywhere. But, like, maybe they, you know, worked behind the scenes on other anime that we know. But, like, I really enjoyed their animation style. You know, like, they really took their time to make sure things were very detailed. And some of the facial expressions I just loved. Like, you know, they always made the comment, you know, I love watching Nadesco eat because she's just – you know, she makes everything look tasty. But it's true, though. I mean, like, just her facial expressions really sell me a lot. Like, I think it's kind of like why Andy Serkis, you know, is such a great actor at times. Like, you always say, it's because he can literally stare at you and tell you 1,000 words, you know. and shows that an anime that kind of can portray that whole, you know, what characters are feeling by just their, you know, expressions and the way they, like, you know, act. And not necessarily speak. I think that kind of speaks more loudly to the reason the show is just so, you know, relaxing and enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, and I will mention, like, the side characters, Shaki, when Jessica was sick and they're using their phone, that was hilarious. How everyone could I make tell who was who?
Her whole family was there.
It's fucking hilarious.
Her sister was the best too. Like, you know, she's like, did I could tell my mom likes it. I could tell the dad likes it. And he looks at the sister. She just looks angry, and she's like, "This is amazing." It's like, okay.
But the sister is cool. It was nice to finally explain why she agreed to take her sister on camping trips. She wants to drink coffee at these other places. I was like, yeah, that's pretty good.
Some people are like that way. I mean, my parents are like that. They like taking road trips a lot. Like, they prefer that over, you know, just, you know, getting a spa vacation somewhere, because they like touring, seeing the sights, and kind of enjoying the views, you know, and that's kind of like her character. She just likes seeing, driving and seeing the views.
Yeah. And I guess the last thing, I've got to bless the fan artists for all the fan art of so much of it out there. I'm like, oh, bless you guys.
Bless you. Bless.
And her voice actor, I'm like, I always think of Momo from To Love Ru. It's always the same voice for her. And I'm like, oh, wait, it's Yui from K-On. Oh, damn. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think the cast is pretty good. I mean, it's how they all play off each other and goof off. And even the final moments where they're, like, fixing each other's hair. And they all have Rin's, like, old ball head thing that you got. It's pretty funny. And again, they just got, like, a cactus, like, randomly. I'm like, and she doesn't. The cast is just so much fun. I mean, I doubt it'll get another season, because, like, you don't really need another one of this, I don't think. I mean, it did its job. I mean,
so. It's definitely one of those shows that would be like, if it gets another season, I'll be happy. Mm-hmm. But if it never gets another season, it's just a nice little package, because, you know, there's no ongoing story, there's no romance, there's no, you know, conspiracy theory that they need to solve. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just. It works as a self-contained, you know, 12-episode series. And, I mean, again, it would be great to get more, but if not, I'm like, this would be a show I would love to think about one day and maybe go, hey, maybe I should watch this again.
A nice, OVA nice return out, to like a Hot Spring OVA, but that's usual.
Yeah.
That's usual.
I'll watch that.
Right.
And, I got to give a special shout out to the you know, basically the animation team, and the fact that they went on location to scout out these real life locations, and the way they translated them to the anime, like, just like it seeing those beautiful vistas and the mountains and the stuff, like it had some really emotional moments, and it almost made me want to go camping for real.
Yeah, I heard that a lot about people. They were saying this show is pushing to go camping. I have a friend who actually has a moped in real life. He's like, I'm still doing that this weekend. I'm like, oh, good luck.
Yeah. Have a lot of otaku dying of like thirst out in the wilderness.
Right, actually, I remember a story coming out when this first came out. They talked about how they were scared a bunch of otaku were going to go out camping and dying.
Right.
The anime girls told me to do it.
I mean, I think a lot of shows do that, and I think as we get older, we tend to be less like, oh, we're going to do that. But I remember watching a few shows, like one about baking bread. I was baking bread not long later. I mean,
Yakitate in Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, shoot, when RG3 was winning on my fantasy team, I was eating Subway every other week, so I couldn't help
it. You're easily influenced, or yeah. like how I downloaded that Shogi app when I watched March Comes in Like a Lion. But yeah, good show.
I tweeted out something about in my Twitter. I tweeted that I'm gonna miss that show, and then a camping site, find camping tents favorited. Like, oh my god, what is this? I was like, oh my god. But yeah,
they probably have like a Twitter aggregate thing that says. Yeah. We found the word camp in his tweet.
Like, why is quick, camp exploding? Well, there you go. Last thing I think I'd give a shout-out to, like, Flow Start. It was another one of those cute girl shows. Kind of almost the same as Yuri Camp, but it had more comedy. It, you know, another feel-good show you can watch, but with some drama here and there, but not anything too dramatic and more realistic. Like, again, no supernatural needed in that one, but, But yeah, so I guess we're going to jump to the next season. We're going to talk about shows that we're kind of curious about what they're going to do. And so I'll start with Amro on this one. What shows are you kind of looking forward to next season?
The better question is, what shows am I not looking forward to next season?
There's a lot.
The first thing I'll talk about is just sequels. Like My Hero Academia third season, I can't wait to see that. Second season was amazing. We're getting more Shokugeki no Soma, the continuation of the third plate, which, you know, like I feel is great, was great. And then a sequel that like we've been wanting for over a decade now, Full Metal Panic Invisible Victory.
I mean, XCOM's kid wasn't even born. that's how, like, he's already in elementary school, going to school, and like that's how long ago this was. I mean, my nephew, like last time the series aired, hadn't even been born yet, and he's now going to middle school this next year.
There's a whole people alive right now that you know weren't around when we watched the original Full Metal Panic. But you know, I revisited those recently, and you know, sat down and watched all three series, and it still holds up.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the second raid, like that season was amazing. And Invisible Victory just looks to be even more of that. Man, just looking at the poster for it has me all excited. And they snuck in a sneaky little pun there. The Invisible Victory IV, season 4.
Yeah, I went ahead and I also did that like a couple weeks ago. I watched all the Full Metal Panic series, and it was just like, you know, it's one of those things where it's not super long, but it's easy to watch, even though it's like, I think like 40 or 50 episodes almost. I think it's
50 episodes. It's about 50 episodes.
So it's so easy to sit down and watch because the show is so good. And, you know, even Fumofu is like one of the best comedies of all time.
Yeah.
I'm definitely super, like, to me, if there's anything that gets me super excited, I'm ready for more Full Metal Panic. That is a show where if you're too young, you know, I'm sure there are listeners that, you know, never watched an anime episode before the last episode of, you know, the second raid came out, but it's still, you know, as an older series is worth checking out because it is so good. It's, I mean, even I think it's got one of the best heroines of all time because she's so unique. You don't really like Chidori Akaname. She is like no other lead character. She is very interesting lead to begin with. So I love the series to death.
And Sosuke too, man. Sosuke's a great character.
I mean, Sosuke's like, great, but I mean, as a uniqueness.
Oh,
like,
I
can't think of one heroine that's like her. Yeah. Like, to that degree, she is the way she is.
I feel Sosuke's kind of been done a lot in recent.
Sosuke's been
characters like him.
Yeah, Sosuke's kind of like the that silent protagonist type. But if you actually go back and watch it, like he's got a great sense of humor. Like he's the straight man, but done in a comedic way. And then when like they really delve into his backstory and stuff, like it hits you emotionally, like. You know, you get the ramifications of him actually being a child soldier and how hard it is to him to live in a normal society and stuff. And the way he plays off of Kaname is just fantastic. And the last show I'll mention is Gundam Build Divers, which I was really excited about when they announced. It's not a continuation of Build Fighters, but it's going to be kind of in a similar vein as that. It's going to feature Gunpla. But it's going to have like some virtual reality aspects to it. So it's going to be the Sword Art Online of Gundam.
Yeah, pretty much. As long as no one's like, oh, once you blow open the Gundam, you blow open real life. Hopefully not.
No, I don't think it'll get grim dark like that. This is a kid's show.
Yeah. But if you mess the paint job up in the game, you mess it up in real life. No.
I mean, something I've always liked about the Gundam Build shows is that, you know, they take. And some people will call this lazy because, you know, of course, it's just Bandai trying to reuse old model kit molds to sell more model kits.
Right.
But I like seeing the variations on mobile suits that we've already seen before.
Yeah,
like,
here, yeah.
Yeah, like, the, you know, the main suit in this looks to be like a 00 variant. And there's an H2 Gundam in there, which like H2. H2 was really like it was a cool unit in its series, which unfortunately Gundam Age wasn't that great. But it's nice to see the design itself get some much needed love.
Yeah, that's one aspect I liked about that. Like you said, the customization of these ones they get, and just seeing the dream crossovers you never get to see.
Yeah,
like seeing a Wing Zero fight an old school Zaku or some crap like that. It's just cool seeing that happen. Even like first season we saw the I guess they had a Wing Zero that was like a half motorcycle, half sniper. I mean, that was kind of cool how they changed up the design, like you said.
So, I mean, they're obviously kids shows, but I feel like I can totally see past that. Like, as someone who loves Gundam, like this isn't an affront to me. You know, like this is just opening Gundam up to more people because I'm sure there's people that saw Gundam Build Fighters and were like, I want to see more Gundam now because I'm interested in the story and I can't wait to see what this is going to be like.
Yeah, you know, I thought I did a good job with that. Like, it's friendly enough for new people to get into. It's not a war-based gun, and no one's gonna get killed. And it shows off, and it gives up maybe them a chance to do something different with Gundam,
which yeah.
Gundam at the time I think was just in a rut where it was just war. I was like, well, can they do something fun? And this is the right answer to that.
Yeah.
So when my 11-year-old nephew watches this and thinks this is such a great I want to see more Gundam, should I go ahead and recommend him to watch something like Iron-Blooded Orphans?
hey man, I saw Gundam Wing when I was in fifth grade, so you know.
His age, you can relate to some of them.
I thought it was the coolest thing when I was in elementary school when they showed Gundam Wing on Toonami's Midnight Run uncut, where instead of everyone saying I'll destroy you, they actually said I'll kill you. I was like, ooh, this is real grown up anime.
Edgy. So edgy. Man,
yeah, so
anime boobs. Oh no. but I guess gotta drop off yours with sequels. I forgot FLCL. A sequel.
Oh, that's a little bit later,
that's
though.
That's summer, though. That's going to be the summer.
Yeah, this list will be updated. But we got High School DxD. He's coming back. You know, fourth season.
Mm-hmm. New animation style bother you at all?
I'm more curious than anything. I always like seeing them change up designs sometimes and bring someone new in. But these designs, I will say, are a little drastic. This cover art looks like they're more moe looking. I think it's going to turn people a lot off, but I'm curious to see what
I think
it
looks good.
Yeah. It's definitely more expressive looking.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious what they're going to do with it. I guess we gotta watch it. See what happens. I guess we'll ask, Steve, what are you looking forward to next
season? One thing I kind of wanted to bring back to, something I was actually thinking about as a curious question. We're going to get another season of Hero Academia. This is kind of a weird off question, but I was thinking about it recently, so I wanted to kind of bring it up since I had the chance to. I'm really looking forward to this season, but it seems like we're going to be hopefully this will be the trend where we get like a season every year, one or two core every year. With that in mind, do you think it's fair? Because I was thinking about this because when we're talking about our, favorites from last year, 2017, we were all like, Hero Academia made our list. Do you think it's fair to continually add that to our list just because they do seasons? Let's think about it. That'd be like saying, well, One Piece this year had an amazing arc.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm going to include that just because, My Hero Academia keeps ending itself. And don't get me wrong, we love the fact that it's doing this and not filling us with filler, but at the same time, it's almost like cheating our way onto our list every year because it's doing this.
But I'll say that it's a little bit more, it's a different scenario, right? Because like with One Piece, it runs continuously nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little harder to judge that compared to like when Naruto ended, we kind of just forgot about it when we were talking about our best ofs, because our rule is that
mm-hmm.
Only shows that have concluded can be considered. But Naruto then would have outclassed everything, because even if it had some down moments, just the vast majority of it all considered together would be like, of course it's the best show, blah blah blah.
At the end of this season, it'll have had almost 65 episodes of content. So that I feel like it's just kind of this random thing I thought in my head. I mean,
you can also look at the anime awards at Crunchyrolls, even mm-hmm. though they're not official. What happened with that? They won every single award almost.
Single award this season too, or this year too, probably.
Yuri on Ice was the popular anime when that aired. So
I'm curious how they're gonna do that. Is Hero Academia still gonna win all those awards next time?
Maybe.
I see where Steve's coming from. It's like it's always there, so it's almost like etched in your skin that it's gonna be number one every single time.
If it's actually good, then maybe I think it deserves it.
Right. That's why I feel that it's. As a fan, it's kind of hard to say that. I'm glad it's there, but it's at the same time, I'm trying my hardest every single time I see it pop up in the season to not make it my number one.
Yeah, because I was thinking that, because if I was talking about my favorites, Full Metal Panic aside, this would probably be number two as my favorite show coming up season. Uh-huh. But at the same time, it's
Duel Fighters. It's number one. But I really like that series.
Well, anyway,
as a manga reader, I know where they're going. So it's I think that's the other thing too. As a manga reader, it's how hyped am I really? If I could, I really ask myself that. About a 5, at this point, because I know where they're going. But yeah. So it's after maybe the season 4, where it's the content I haven't seen, it'd probably be 8 or 9 because it's new stuff. But yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Just a random tangent aside.
Good question. Let's keep in mind. Let's keep in mind that rewards are all bullshit anyway.
I completely agree. But anyway, kind of going back into sequels. A sequel I'm looking forward to is Tokyo Ghoul. It's season 3. I know. The anime gets a lot of shit.
You're a terrible person. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I know. I know. People who read the manga think the anime is the worst thing in the world.
People that read the manga think they're just this edgelord, I'm so cool, I'll read this Tokyo Ghoul. Yeah. I'm no, it's not good. And they always give me shit for it. But
anyway, I respect it. But, it always takes me back to the final episode of the original season of Tokyo Ghoul. Because that was just, in my mind, if I were to, give top 10 anime episodes of all time, mm-hmm. I would probably include that on that list. Because that final episode was just, as someone who loves those intense kind of psychological stuff. That episode delivered on every front and was just, from the beginning to
where he's being tortured.
Exactly.
Unlock.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that whole torture episode. It just makes your hair stand on end. Right. It makes you just it's just as a psychological piece. It is one of the most intense episodes of anything I've personally seen. Now, I'm sure you'd probably be like, well, you haven't seen this, but it truly is amazing. So, and even last season had a few episodes, not maybe not quite on that level, but did kind of continue that psychological intensity. So I am curious to see where this is going. The only thing I'm a little disappointed in is knowing that it's going to be like 2 years later. So I'm not sure how this is going to feel compared, because this is, you know, how this is going to sequel. But I am curious enough to see it. And maybe hopefully this time it won't be censored. And I know it probably will be, but maybe they'll give us a censor-free version. Crunchyroll's been pretty good about that lately. So
because I have one question. Well, this new one, is it basically like a retelling, or is it, I guess it's, let's say, continues later. It's also, the cover art looks like the main guy joined some like team or something.
It is supposed to be 2 years after, from what I can hear, of the last series, Tokyo Ghoul, whatever math sign that is, I can't remember.
Does it still follow like Kaneki, or is it easy?
Is he in it? Does. Okay. It is. Like, so this is a full-fledged sequel.
Cover art shows him like with a team of like four or five people dressed in white. I'm like, so did he join a team now? Is that?
I have no idea what's going on. So we'll have to wait and see about that. So I'm just curious to see where it goes. Again, I like the series to the extent it is. So, and while it might not be quite on the manga level, it still is enjoyable. And it'll be interesting to see if it does. Because I did hear that season two did actually do a little bit of a course correction back to where the manga was headed. I could be wrong about that. I just heard that. So we'll see. We'll have to wait. I'll have to wait and see exactly what it's like. But it is something I'm looking forward to. You know, one other show, actually, I got two other shows I want to mention real quick. First off, Persona 5.
Right. This one, you don't have to play the game.
I played the game for all of 5 minutes before I was like, I do not want to play this anymore.
Yeah, that's me right now. My brother, he's just trying his hardest to get me to play the game before watching the anime. I'm like, I don't have 5-10 hours to give. I'm sorry.
I just didn't like the game. It's the style of that game is not to me. I cannot enjoy those style of games. Like, to me, I'll take a game like, you know, coming out this week, we have a Far Cry 5. Like, I like those kind of games. Like, the kind of game that Persona 5 was.
So if Persona 5 was a first-person shooter, you'd like it more.
It's just the style, like the open world style. Like, even like, you know, Grand Theft Auto or, you know, Tomb Raider open world style. You know, those are styles I can get behind and enjoy. It's just the way that the game mechanics are for Persona 5 I couldn't get behind. But I did fully enjoy Persona 4, the animation.
Yeah.
So I am looking forward to Persona 5 and kind of at least being able to understand a little bit more what you guys talked about all that for, you know, over for practically about a year anyway.
Then you can play the magical game of who's the best wife. Everyone loves that.
Best girl is on, and I'm sticking with it. although let me just say that as someone who actually played the game, every girl in that game has an appeal for me. It was actually really hard. Like, it got really hard to pick one at the end, because every time I play that game, I always do like a monogamous playthrough and save my like Playboy harem route for my second playthrough. But like it actually got really hard for me to choose at one point, like where you actually have to turn the girls down if you want to max out their social link. So one of the girls, Haru, I wasn't even expecting her to become one of my favorites, but like by the end of it, I was like, oh no, I don't want to turn her down. This is breaking my heart. But anyway, I'm glad that it's getting an anime, just so that people who didn't play the game can experience it. I know there's casuals like Steve who only watch anime.
It's not a casual thing. Like, I just don't enjoy that style of game.
It's all right, Steve. You can make all the excuses you want. I won't judge you.
I'd rather play Bloodborne on the most difficult setting than play this game.
That's how I know you're a casual. Bloodborne doesn't have settings.
Oh, well, whatever.
Or cute anime girls. Oh, no.
It does have cute anime girls.
Game. But anyway. And the last series I want to mention that's not actually a sequel or video game adaptation is I'm actually looking forward to a series called It's Difficult to Love an Otaku. It looks kind of a lot like you know, one of our favorite romances from last year, MMO Junkie. So it kind of has that appeal to it. So I'm kind of hoping it does kind of have that. You know, it's also being done by A1, so you know, they do good stuff.
Yeah, they look like adults, which is nice. You know, they are adults. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. In that sense, it was similar to MMO Junkie, where you know, we were following adult characters in their daily lives instead of fucking teenagers. But you know, when I first saw the title for that, I was thinking like, oh no, they're all going to be anime nerds and what. But then I remembered, oh, otaku in Japan just means someone who's obsessed with something. So they're going to be different types of otakus. So that made it a little bit more interesting to me after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It seems like a pretty funny, like a funny idea of a show.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not necessarily expecting this to be the most amazing series ever. I just, you know, seeing it kind of made me think of MMO Junkie, and I thought, wow. Voice cast, though. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of good actors. Yuki Kaji. Yep. But I'll watch it. I guess for me, it's like it's one about dragons that are disguised as jets. Bones is making it, which is a very interesting, odd idea. How fighter jets? What if they were, you know, a living creature? Yeah, and I guess the premise was pretty interesting. Caught me by surprise. And I'm a Bones fan, even though I know the questionable endings they make. But yeah, that sounded pretty interesting. I'm not sure how to pronounce the title, but yeah, that's what I was calling Dragon Jets, whatever. But it looks like a pretty interesting. It may not be like I'm trying to think of that. They're on a tank and they're in the middle of nowhere. But it might be more like I don't think it's going to be a super action show, whatever. We'll see. Another one would be Wycross, if I got Axel coming out. Another third season of that. Which is bringing the characters from the first season, second season, together, I guess. So more of that. Persona 5, like you guys said, I agree with you guys that I didn't play the game, so I'm curious, you know, to watch this to see what all the hype was at the time. So we'll see that. I'm surprised you guys didn't mention Megalobox, the boxing anime.
Actually, I saw that on your list, which is why I didn't say anything.
Right. That looks really cool, premise-wise. I saw the couple of trailers and I'm like, wow, this looks really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, boxing shows are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. To be fair, I know it's related to Ashita no Joe.
Oh, really?
As Tomorrow's Joe. I have no idea what the relationship is to that. Maybe it's like a kind of a new adaption. I don't know, but it's interesting to see. But I was looking, I watched the trailer to that, and you know, boxing shows, it kind of makes me think of, what was that show that's super long running?
Hajime no Ippo.
Hajime no Ippo, yeah.
Yeah, that one.
It kind of made me think of that. So I'm curious to see how that one all plays out too. So it is something, you know, being an original series and all that, I was curious about.
That, like the designs of the characters. Like the main guy looks like Spike to me, because his hair is all, you know, afroed out a little bit. Or the guy from Bahamut, like something like that kind of hairstyle. But yeah, the art style looked really good. I'm curious how it's gonna go. And let's see what else. To my surprise, I put a Sword Art Online anime on my list. But this one's the Gun Gal. They're doing a spinoff, which I'm happy about. So Kirito may not appear in that one, but I wouldn't put it past and put him in there at least one or two times. Him to save the main girl, whatever.
I'm not too excited about that, mainly because there's been very few spin-off series from shows that I've liked that worked for me.
Right.
I tend to like watch them and think, like, watch the first couple episodes and think, I just don't like it. Like, most recently, the series, the one that focused on the crazy sword girl from, what was the one? The How to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon.
Right, yeah.
Like I could not get into that series at all. Yeah, so I you know, it's one of the, so seeing the Gun Gal spinoff has me curious, but I'm not too hopeful about it. Like I get the feeling that this might be a show I watch one or two episodes on and give up.
Right. I mean, for me, it was like the Gun Gal arc itself, the original Sword Art, was probably the most interesting one for me, because it wasn't a few fantasy, it was kind of a modern FPS like we're used to nowadays. So just and seeing I that did... storyline, or see that animated, I was like, that's kind of cool.
That it was a great storyline too, with the guy going around killing people in the real world. Mm-hmm. So it definitely had an interesting twist to the storyline, I would say. But mm-hmm. I don't know. Again, it's one of those things where it was like a spinoff is a spinoff.
Right.
They rarely ever work.
Right. And then we got, I think we mentioned it off air, Alternative coming out later on. So another spinoff. But actually, I got the sequel. That's going to keratin all of them again.
Sequel, I'm good with. Right. Spinoffs, I'm worried about.
Right. Then we got like Steins Gate's coming back.
I'm curious. That's gonna be like an alternate one, so
yeah.
I'm curious about it, but I'm I don't know. Again, it's one of those things where alternate stories don't always work, mm-hmm. so we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully, it's good. It's just been a long time since I've seen Steins Gate. I know I liked it a lot, but I'll be curious to see how this full the alternate side story kind of does. Works out.
And I think the last thing I'll mention, because we got through most of the sequels, is Maho Shoujo Site, which is about magical girls that killing each other.
You like the anime about magical girls? I didn't see that coming.
Right. Which, I mean, the premise, it's been done a couple times about magical girls using their powers to. But this one looks like it's going to go another route where it's going to be really gruesome and how they're going to kill each other. I think they might be killing civilians too. So it'd be interesting seeing what they do. And recently they announced, I don't know if you guys follow Kizuna Ai Avatar thing on YouTube. She's going to be a voice in this anime. She actually landed a role. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
I do follow Kizuna Ai, and I might just watch this anime just for her.
Yeah, I want to see what she does with that. I mean, it's curious.
For anyone that doesn't know who Kizuna Ai is, go just look her up on YouTube. She's fantastic. She plays games. Yeah.
My favorite is the Resident Evil. Fuck you.
Like,
wow.
Just hearing a virtual Japanese girl say fuck you is the best thing ever.
Right. But I'm curious about that one. It just seems like it's an interesting idea. But like I said, they've done that before with other shows where girls kill each other, but
I hate the magical girl battle royale genre. I hate it. But I might watch this. I don't know.
Yeah.
I might also watch Maho Shoujo Ore.
Right.
Which looks stupid as hell.
And this one, I think, is gonna be heavily censored, unfortunately. But,
But you never know. Again, as I say, Crunchyroll's been much better at that recently. Mm-hmm. Getting shows that you normally think, oh, hey, that would be censored, ends up on Crunchyroll and they get it uncensored. So hopefully they can kind of continue that.
Right. Oh, and I also thought Amachu Scuba Diving Girl is coming back too, so. Which is another one of those feel good. Just watch when I chill out anyway.
Jero, I think, was the one that liked that one. I couldn't get past, I think, a couple episodes. I think it was just a little too slow-paced for me.
A lot of people don't like it because the main chick is just, like, this ball of energy. It's like, okay, that's enough. Like, you can settle down now.
Yeah.
But anything else to talk about before we wrap this up?
Well, that'll pretty much do it.
Yep. There's a lot of good stuff coming out. I can't wait.
Yep, I didn't realize how many sequels and returning shows were actually on the list.
Yeah, and just so the listeners know, we will be doing a two-part season preview because, again, there's so much stuff. So we'll try to hit all of them we can. So.
Yep. I guess that's it for this episode. We'll see you guys next week for maybe a seasonal preview or more shows. See you guys next time.